It's a really tremendous time to be in the energy world right now. Not only are we seeing a tremendous amount of innovation on the technology side, not only in New York City, but New York State, I think some of the big energy issues of the day are being tackled right now as we speak. I'm going to tell you a little bit about our city's plan down in New York City, and I think it's perhaps an interesting template for other cities to look at. And as I said, you know, not only do we have a tremendous endowment in the region and New York State in natural resources and renewables, but also within a dense urban environment, I think one of the really interesting innovations is how to integrate some of these new distributed resources with load, and that's one of the things that we're trying to tackle. That's really the cutting edge of research in many ways. And for me, I've been with the mayor's office now for just about 3 years, and it's really been an honor to work for Mayor Bloomberg, who I think has put cities on the map and sustainability at the local level. Really, I think the Plan YC, I'd like to say, has been a document it's really about quality of life. And how do you accommodate economic growth and population growth in a way in which people can improve their quality of life, but with an environmental guiding principle? In our case, one of the guiding principles is climate change, both in terms of looking at how the city can reduce its greenhouse gas footprint over time, also understanding the latest climate science and being able to deal with climate events as well. So it's a combination of both, I think, that have been the driving force in many ways. And I think that the beauty of this plan really started in 2006-07. It's the 5-year anniversary, and we're in the final year of the mayor's term. So we are really trying to go out strong this year as we hand over the reins to the next mayor. And I think there's a lot to be proud of here. It's no longer just a document. It's actually part of the budget process, city agency. It's a lifeblood of city agencies right now, how they look at their practices and sustainability. Really, some of the guiding pieces of how we look at sustainability, really, we want it always to be fueled by science and driven by data. We're very data-driven. We want the best scientific thinking to inform us. We're focused on cost-effective strategies in partnership with the brightest minds in the private sector and the public sector as well. The good news is, in our mix, at least, out in New York City, we don't really have any coal. We have a tiny amount of imported coal. But we could do a lot more in renewables, and I think that this is an area of intense focus. And also, petroleum is used in the residential and commercial sector for heating in many cases. So that's an area that's been a tremendous focus for ours. And also looking at capturing fugitive emissions from wastewater treatment plants and also making buildings more efficient. Back in 2006 and 2007, the idea was, if we could take our greenhouse gas footprint and lower it by 30% by 2030, we felt that was a difficult but realistic target to hit. And the idea was roughly 2/3 of that target would be met with buildings measures. And I'm going to talk about the variety of policies that we have related to buildings. In a city like New York City, buildings constitute roughly 75% of greenhouse gas emissions. The transport sector is a bit less on a percentage basis in New York City than some of the other major cities. And so one of the cornerstones of our policies is what the so-called Greater Greener Buildings Plan. As I mentioned, most of our greenhouse gas emissions stem from buildings, energy use in buildings. And if you look at the statistics, really, it's 2% of the building stock constitutes almost half of total energy usage in New York City. And we have a law in place that asks building owners with large buildings, 50,000 square feet and above, to actually benchmark their energy usage. And this is pretty phenomenal because we're really almost creating an information revolution around buildings, which are really a strategic asset in greenhouse gas mitigation. We've now benchmarked more than 2 billion square feet of real estate. If you combine San Francisco and Boston, that's the square footage. And the thinking here is, with this kind of information, not only can you tailor better policies, but building owners have a better idea of their energy consumption. And if you simply brought up some of the lowest quartile performers to the median, you would have a tremendous amount of greenhouse gas reduction and energy savings. Another element is green codes. If you think of building codes, they're really the DNA of buildings. It's how buildings are constructed. And we've worked with the Urban Green Council and a number of the brightest minds really to enact green codes that are business-friendly but highly impactful at the same time. And I think that's been one other cornerstone of our buildings program. And it's not just energy, but it's also water usage, cement, and other materials. Another element, I mentioned that residual fuel oil, which is number 6 fuel oil, is used in 10,000 buildings in New York City today for heating. It is one of the highest contributors of particulate matter emissions in the city. So we have a program in the city to phase out number 6 fuel oil and really help finance that as well, to accelerate that. And you'll see that's actually a clear quality of life measure. It's not often in the energy industry that you can move the needle very quickly with simple measures. This is one such measure, and I think we're really looking at, for that sector, reducing particulate matter emissions by 50% within the next year. And I think, you know, our partners with the Environmental Defense Fund are helping us achieve that goal. And you can look at some of the annual health benefits if we can achieve that. And I think it's a tremendous program in partnership with them. Another piece is financing. We have a not-for-profit called the New York City Energy Efficiency Corporation, which is really looking at catalyzing energy efficiency in the market spaces where we see insufficient financing opportunities right now. And already this program has, I think, been tremendously successful, and we're very much looking forward to working with the state to see what the next phase of this can be and can partner with the state on this. But I think this is one of the emerging paradigms in our industry that's going to be, I think, very interesting to follow. Another element is renewables. And if we look at unlocking the potential for solar, New York City has a tremendous amount of potential if you look at the rooftop space. The tricky part is getting the investments to be located where they should be located, where they can help alleviate some of the stress on the grid. We're starting to see an uptick in solar investments. If you look at what city government is doing, you know, we are looking at all the city government assets, you know, schools, wastewater treatment plants, you know, landfills, to see whether we can scale up solar in locations with it that the city owns. So right now, for example, we're looking at potentially a major solar project on a landfill in Fresh Kills in Staten Island, about to finish some power purchase agreement contracts for construction at other city sites. We're very excited about this program. Another area is, you know, how do you capture waste? If you're dealing with a dense urban environment, you'll have, in our case, 14 very large wastewater treatment plants right on the city. And those wastewater treatment plants produce biogas, essentially. And so how do you harness that? Thinking about the net zero concept, the ability to harness that and reuse that gas, that's essentially renewable gas. And so we have two projects we're looking at, one at Newtown Creek, which is the largest wastewater treatment plant in New York. And we're looking at, with National Grid, really taking the excess biogas, purifying it, injecting it back into the grid. I think it'd be the first such project in the U.S. And then other places like Ward's Island, where there's a tremendous amount of fuel oil currently being used, we're looking at the phase out of that by using, again, some of the biogas that's already generated from these wastewater treatment plants. So I think this is really cutting edge stuff, and we're very excited about it. So where are we right now? So I mentioned we had a 30% goal of greenhouse gas reduction by 2030. We're roughly halfway there. If you look at the various programs on energy efficiency, fugitive emissions, and this is citywide, so credit also goes to, you know, the private sector and the utilities, the phase out of some of the heavier fuels, modernization of some of the power plants. So we're very, very excited that we're roughly halfway to that target quite early. And the question then is, you know, what is the next phase of this going to look like? One question is, can the city really go to a deeper greenhouse gas emissions target, a really ambitious 80% by 2050? So we're asking the question, number one, is it possible with existing technologies and ones that are in the kind of feasible near term? How much would it cost? Should we do it? Because as was mentioned, you know, there's also a tremendous amount of investment that's needed on the resilience side as we look at the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy. You know, why 80 by 50? And I think this has been established by the IPCC, the International Panel on Climate Change, that in order to limit global temperature increases to less than 2% by mid-century, industrialized nations need to reach that target. And, you know, New York City is just one city. You can't do it alone. But New York City generates roughly just under 1% of global emissions, depending on how you account for it. So we want to lead by example. So as I mentioned, the questions are, can we do it? How much would it cost? What's the pathway there? So we're going to be publishing that in the coming weeks. For 2013, that's one area of research that we're trying to finish up. And the other one is climate resilience. We've established a panel of some of the best scientists around to really look at what might happen regarding sea level rise and heat waves in the city. If you look at what happened during Superstorm Sandy, you'll notice that Superstorm Sandy exceeded in many places the old 100-year floodplain. So this is a tremendous challenge for the city and for the state. And also, we've established our special initiative for rebuilding and resilience. And at the end of May, we're going to be publishing our roadmap for how the city is going to address it, not only for the energy sector, but for coastal measures and buildings and critical infrastructure.